Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Thursday, the 17th of April, 2025. It's Holy Thursday, Last Supper Day. And I can tell you, it is freezing in Dublin. Pure Baltic it is. Get the extra quilt out, put on the mittens, and sound the bell. We're in need of a small bit of heat. Power Tricks with you. Tap out your thoughts in the usual way. That's on the WhatsApp 087 032 32 32 North and South. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Tadashchuk. Warm yourself by the fire. We have a lovely show for you. A busy one as well this morning. Chris Chibnall. He created Broadchurch, and that's a TV show starring David Tennant and Olivia Colman. Remember Murder in the Countryside and all of that? And it explored the darkness in rural villages in England. He also had control of Doctor Who there for a while, which sends fans of that absolutely cuckoo. They're special people. And now he's written his first novel, which is set in the English countryside and dark doings unfold. I have to say, reading it, it could have been set in Ireland because of the characters that all circumvent around the pub, and then there's a contrary farmer, and there's all sorts out in the English countryside. So looking forward to chatting to him about things. He's also adapting an Agatha Christie novel for Netflix. 100 years nearly since some of those novels were written, and yet there's an Agatha Christie universe that is doing serious business at the moment. 51551 is the text as well. I'm looking here at the BBC this morning. Cheeses, dairy and goat, you might say, because the British government has announced a temporary ban on holidaymakers bringing cheese and meat products from the European Union. And this is going to be very triggering for us. It's to prevent the spread of foot and mouth disease. What's happening? Travellers are not allowed to bring back items for your personal use. Cured meats and cheeses that people might be bringing home back to Britain. Sandwiches that they might have bought in the airport on the way in. And there's a growing outbreak on the continent, and we don't want it over these islands for sure. The restrictions apply whether the goods are packed or packaged or bought from duty free. They had a ban in some countries, but now this has gone across the entire European Union. And reading, this is only a news story, for people arriving from Britain, an exemption for people coming from the north of Ireland, but there's no mention if there's an exemption for the south. So you could be buying a sandwich in the south, flying out of Belfast. It's kind of one of those mad things, isn't it? Products will be seized and destroyed if you bring them in, and in serious cases you could be fined up to £5,000 sterling. That's what the British government is saying. So don't bring pork, beef, lamb, mutton, goat, venison and other products made from these meats. For example, sausages. Milk and dairy products also banned as well. Butter, cheese, yoghurt. You can bring up to 2 kilo per person, however, of powdered infant milk, infant food or special food that might be needed for medical reasons. You'll remember the big outbreak was 2001, and the Brits found 2,000 cases of foot and mouth in cattle and destroyed 6 million sheep, cattle and pig. If you're in farming at all, it's a disturbing flashing imagery of those animals all piled up and burning them. Do you remember that? So they don't want those sights to happen again. And we've become very good at preventing it coming in. Certainly Ireland shut down that time. We cancelled St. Patrick's Day and everything, didn't we? March 2001, St. Patrick's Day parades, and the foot and mouth mats were everywhere. And there's very sharp announcements from the Department of Agriculture when you got on a plane going, do not even sneak as much of as a cheese string into the country. Thank you very much. To matters further afield now, they have discovered a planet they believe that has proof of alien life out there. What? Giant planet, 124 light years from Earth, and that's roughly the same time it takes you to get on a bus from Cork to Dublin, has yielded the strongest evidence yet that extraterrestrial life may be thriving beyond our solar system, astronomers claim. Observations by the James Webb Space Telescope, which is very powerful and can see right across galaxies and universes, but can't tell you when the next Dublin bus is going to arrive. They found basically chemicals that amount to proof of alien biological activity, and it could bring the answer on whether we are alone in the universe. Are we alone in the universe? I hope this planet, they probably have a Metrolink already, and definitely the Cork Lewis was done years ago, and probably a functioning housing market, because, you know, it's aliens and they have special talents. Professor of physics in the University of Cambridge has said, decades from now, we may look back at this point in time and recognise it was when the living universe came within reach. This could be the tipping point. Now, before you get too excited, the Guardian's next sentence is, others are sceptical, questions remaining about whether the conditions on K218b, which is the name of this planet, are favourable to life. They just go and ruin everything with their facts. By the way, you grew up, there was, what, 9 planets in our solar system. They now have nearly 6,000 exoplanets, kind of stars and so on. Planets beyond our solar system are too distant to photograph or reach with robotic spacecraft, but scientists can estimate their size, density and temperature and examine their chemical makeup by tracking the exoplanet as it passes across the face of its host star and measuring the starlight that has been filtered through its atmosphere. Scientists are amazing. We should just get them to build things. That's what we should get them to do. All of this research and scientific output is extremely important. Actually, I'll come to the serious story because the Irish Sun has gone front page with this. Planet of the Plankton is literally their headline because the distant watery world, the chemicals they found are kind of watery, might be teeming with life because Spain scientists say the chemicals basically have been created by plankton. So it's a planet of plankton. So no Metrolink probably there. We are not alone, folks. That's what they say. Science say something else. Yes, all the scientific and research endeavours, very important, obviously, in universities. And that is where the great battle is. It was just world trade. Now it's just Trump versus the centres of learning. And I was telling you here yesterday about Harvard standing up to Trump and refusing to back down and change all their rules for admissions, how they treat students and so on the campus. And in return, bowing to the rules in order to secure their $2 billion a year funding, federal funding. They've gone ahead and he suspended that now entirely. And also he's asked the IRS, that's the tax man in America, to consider whether to revoke Harvard's tax exempt status. So the threat has now become an action. The move would be a major escalation of the attempts to choke off federal money and support for the leading research university in the United States. That's what the New York Times calls it. And the BBC this morning is reporting the government, Trump's government, threatened to ban Harvard University from enrolling foreign students. An entire ban. They'd be very profitable for them, as you'd imagine. It's all about money and leverage and what he can do to control these old institutions. The institutions refusing to bow to demands. So the White House, it's the oldest university in America. They've ordered them to make changes to hiring, admissions and teaching practices, which they say will help fight anti-Semitism on campus in the form of those anti-war protests in relation to Gaza. The Homeland Security Secretary says that Harvard is threatening national security by bending the knee to anti-Semitism. She says she's also now demanding records on all the foreign student visa holders on site. And international students make up 27% of Harvard's enrollment. So that'll be a huge blow to them. But the Harvard president, Alan Garber, he's earning about $1 million a year. He wrote in a message to his Harvard community, which is alumni and students and everyone who works there. The university will not surrender its independence or relinquish its constitutional rights. That's what he says. In response, Trump has been saying on his social media platform, Harvard is a joke, all caps, teaches hate and stupidity. He's capitalized those for some reason and should no longer receive federal funds. The administration's attacks, obviously not isolated to Harvard, and he's been talking about cracking down universities because he says they're hostile to conservatives like him. Now, the American chat shows are having fun. Ronnie Cheng on The Daily Show said, look, I don't usually root for Harvard because they're Harvard. They've got everything. It's like rooting for Jeff Bezos to win the lottery. And he says, but we have finally found a force more powerful than Trump's hatred, Harvard's love of sending rejection letters. And I only know that reference point from movies where someone is always holding a letter. And I presume nowadays there are no letters. It's probably just an email you open as like leaving certain results and see CEO offers. Jimmy Kimmel says, who better to determine what colleges should and should not be doing in America than the man who had to shell out $25 million in penalties for running a fraudulent university he named after himself. That's a true story. I have entirely forgotten until that joke. Trump University, which collapsed bankrupt. And actually, as a further, I remember reading about that story, paying out to the people who sued the university. He used money from a charity, I believe it is alleged, and so on. So there you go. You're up to date. Up to date whether you want it to be or not. Fuel prices, there's an even more miserable place to go. The Irish Independent tells us this morning, Charlie Weston's writing, petrol and diesel prices have failed to fall this month despite crude oil prices dropping to a 4-year low. Do you remember 2022 when the Russians invaded Ukraine and the price of fuel shot up, and it happened overnight. By the hour, in fact, the prices were going up. Well, those prices are going way, way down, and there is nothing happening at the, to the prices charged to us. Petrol is unchanged at 180 a litre on average across the country. Diesel is 177, the same price it was a month ago, despite the fall in crude oil prices. UCC energy expert Dr. Paul Dean said the drop in crude oil costs could mean pump prices for both fuels could fall to 160 and 170 a litre. So it'll be, you know, 20 cents. Yeah, 10 and 20, 10 cents really. Diesel will be cheaper than petrol, but he said bigger falls were unlikely due to the higher levels of tax on motor fuels and the impact of currency movements. But Marias, it's you. It should be going down, surely, because they're making bank, that's for sure. And that's next to a nice story about Hozier, who's the antithesis of fossil fuels. Let's face it, he's a bit of an environmentalist. Obviously, his Unreal on Earth was all climate change and stuff. Hozier has been named as one of the world's most influential people in the prestigious Time list of people to watch for 2025. They're only putting this out in April. He's only 35, believe it or not, same age as Rory McIlroy, from County Wicklow. And he's alongside Ed Sheeran and Nicole Scherzinger. Of course, she's had a career renaissance, hasn't she, in the West End and so on. And the actor Scarlett Johansson. Andrew John Hozier Byrne, if you didn't know, that's his full name, is the only Irish person on the list of 100 people shaping our lives across America. So across the world, I should say. Who else is on the power list? Well, Trump is there. And Keir Starmer's made it in. He's making also a bit of a renaissance since after a bad start. He's like the great white hope we have. Good Lord. Speaking of Rory McIlroy, by the way, his private jet was spotted arriving in southern England yesterday. His whereabouts currently unknown. We don't know if he's going to make a dramatic homecoming appearance at some point. We know that the up north, some of the unions, the Ulster Unionist Party, are going to be calling for a knighthood for Rory, to call him Sir Rory. That would make Erica Stoll Lady Erica. And this, we believe, is in response to the First Minister Michelle O'Neill from the Sinn Féin side of the house calling for the homecoming, and President Michael D. Higgins getting in on it as well. And unions are going, no, he's our Rory. And he's never addressed either. I mean, he's an international character. He lives in Florida, for goodness sake. He's saying the last few holes of the Masters drove his father to the drink. And his father said he's never, it's the first time ever he's watched Rory play golf on telly and had to pour himself a drink with the stress of it all. So he's been chatting to them, but we don't know if he's coming home or not. We'll keep a close eye on that anyway. Tell someone who's having a very bad week in the Irish Times this morning. Unfortunately, political coverage in the slump of Easter is all about opinion polls. And Simon Harris is having a very bad day, and they don't hold back in the Irish Times, must say. The Harris boom well and truly bust in the latest poll findings. Only in one that this puts Fine Gael at 16%. Oh my God. And the Irish Times tells us that only on one previous occasion ever, 1994, did Fine Gael go as low as 16% in an Irish Times B&A, Ipsos B&A poll. Sinn Féin has cause for some satisfaction. They're up 6% to 26%. 26% now, not great. It just means that no political party is singularly great, and Fianna Fáil are just kind of static there at 22%. It's brutal. Damien Losher is writing, the Simon Harris boom has turned to bust. Party support 16%. Fine Gael's vote share climbed on the back of the Harris elevation in March. So last year, Fine Gael was at 27%. And now it's 16. That is extraordinary. Today's poll result is for the confirmation the honeymoon is well and truly over. And Pat Leahy says it's a shocker. Bright spot for the government is the Fianna Fáil support is holding, and the Taoiseach is still the most popular party. So Micheál will have a nice Easter weekend at Cort McSherry, where he hangs out on his holidays. And it's brutal news. The poll itself was conducted in-home by experienced interviewers working across 120 locations, urban and rural, and covering every constituency. The quota controls and key demographics are used to ensure a sample of 1,200 eligible voters, so that's representative of the population. And it was on Monday and Tuesday of this week when, whoops, Simon Harris was out announcing. He was announcing stuff about the army. He loves announcements, loves doing all those announcements, which actually his announcement was made in January of last year. But there's a big election this year, presidential election, and if Fine Gael win that, I'm sure all will be forgiven. They haven't ever won a presidential election, so the pressure is on him to deliver. Oh no, run away. It's war. Ah!